Hey everyone, welcome back to episode 73 of the Guardian Project podcast. I'm your host, Andy. And guess who has two thumbs and likes Krark the Thumbless?
Who's that?
Not Krark, it's me.
He has really bad self-image problems where he can't like himself because he can't point at himself with his thumbs.
Not two thumbs. You could do eight fingers.
Eight fingers? Why not?
Who has eight fingers and likes Krark the Thumbless?
Krark the
Thumbless. Also me.
And you as well. And I'm your co-host, Mike Coyle. And you know they made this new Golgari zombie elf commander? You better Bell Biv it.
I thought it was going to be a Bell Biv DeVoe joke.
I don't even know who that is.
I don't know if that's even how it's pronounced. Now I feel like I just made that up. That's a thing, right? Well, those might be words I just made.
Please listen carefully.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering.
But mostly Commander.
Oh my gosh. Well, this last week of Magic was I think my busiest week of Magic of my entire life.
Yeah, you had a lot going on.
I did. I got to play a lot of games. I think I played 9 last week. So I'm over 300 now.
Congratulations.
So we're getting there. I got to play with CNC Power Hour. I got to play with Moderately Anonymous MTG. I played with the Scrap Trawlers. I played with us, obviously.
Yeah, it was us. That's true.
It was us.
Mm-hmm. And Jim from the Spike Feeders.
Yeah, Jim from the Spike Feeders and Moderately Anonymous MTG on Thursday. I got to do something. Oh, okay. I'm really excited.
This is the thing you didn't tell me on the ride over.
Yeah, because I said I got to save it. Mm-hmm. I played Vito, Thorn of the Duskrose.
Mm-hmm.
And I landed the Bolas's Citadel and my Sensei's Divining Top.
Oh my God.
And I went down to, I think, 6 life and then passed because I did not have, I got the combo and had no way to initiate life gain or life loss with what I had. And I did not have enough permanence to keep alive the Bolas's Citadel, or to sack it with 10 other permanents and keep Vito and the other thing. So I passed and still got there.
Nice.
So that felt really good. Yeah. I felt bad because I did it on stream and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And they're like, no, you got to practice it. This is how it works. Yep. So I got to do it on stream. There is video evidence of me doing it. I'm sure I messed up somewhere, but I drew so many lands throughout that, and I was like, well, I guess I just draw it. Do you
have Aetherflux Reservoir in that deck?
I think so. Okay. But I didn't get to it, and I certainly didn't have 40 life, but I could have I would have gotten 40 then.
Right.
But that felt great. And that was a combo I did not have in there until you were like, you should just throw it in there.
I love that combo so much.
Yeah, it was the first time I ever got to play it, and it's not very nice, but I like it a lot.
For all of you wondering what that combo is, Bolas of Citadel, allowing you to cast the top card of your library and spending life instead of mana for it, and Sensei's Divining Top only costing 1 and being able to tap it, draw a card, and put it on top of your library. You go find Aetherflux Reservoir. You've already cast Sensei's Divining Top like 20 times by the time you take that out, and then you storm off to win.
You can do it that way, or you can just play Vito, Thorn of the Duskrose, do it until you get your Exquisite Blood, which says when your opponents lose life, you gain life, and when you gain life, your opponents lose life, and you just kind of go, the game ends with anyway to get lifelink. And I did all this and then went to combat and realized the 4 or 5 creatures I had did not have lifelink, and I had already played the creatures that the Malakir Blood Witch, when it enters, you gain life and... Is it gain life? No, you lose life and draw cards. I don't remember exactly, but whatever card I needed that would have been an ETB did not exist yet.
Ah.
So I didn't do it that way. And I was very nervous passing at 6 life.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So that was really cool. And then I also got my new digital camera set up this week. So I picked up a new camera for streaming. If you're on Twitter, you saw that. I was very excited to see that it actually fits on the stand for my ring light that I had bought. So I was worried about trying to find a tripod for it. And I go, I don't need to find one because it's already built in.
Nice. It's like finding an old card that you want to throw in a new deck and then realizing that you don't need to do that anymore because you found the card.
Or picking up a card that you wanted to put into a deck that you already own 6 of and you just could not find it.
That's true.
Yeah. And then you find all of them, like my final partings that I had five of after finally sorting my Dominaria.
It turns out you opened a lot of Dominaria.
Huh? It turns out I did. Still not as much as Magic Origins, but lots of Dominaria.
Yep. Yep. And we also want to give a shout out to our new patron, Andy Bentley.
Hey, thanks for joining the family.
You are welcome in the family. Open arms. Turkey at the end of the month.
Thanksgiving is coming up.
That's right.
We don't give out turkey to all of our patrons, but maybe one year.
If you are high enough, we're going to do a new tier in our patronage. We'll send you a full frozen butterball turkey. We'll sign it too.
We're going to sign the butter. Aren't they usually in that like netting though?
Yeah, but they're also usually covered in plastic.
Oh, we're going to sign
their shrink wrapped. Yeah. That way they can keep the plastic.
I've never made a turkey. Have you made a turkey?
Not myself. I've helped my parents make a turkey before. And by my parents, I mean my mom, because my dad doesn't cook. But
I don't like Thanksgiving dinner. I think I said this on the podcast last year. I know.
In the real life. At Halloween.
The best thing at Thanksgiving. You know what? We're going to get to that, because Thanksgiving's coming up and it's still only November 2nd.
That's right. Are we going to do another episode where we're thankful for things? Because I just want to talk about Commander Legends.
We'll be thankful for it. In less than 30 days, yeah. We're going to be thankful for it.
Yeah.
If you want to support our podcast and become a patron, you can head to patreon.com/guardianprojectpod. We just pulled the winner for this month's giveaway. We'll be doing another one next month. And you can support for any dollar amount. And we appreciate all of your support.
And if you're looking for another way to support the podcast, we do have a TCG player affiliate link located in the show notes below. So if you're looking to pick up any sealed or single products from TCG player, please follow that link. It helps us get a little bit of money on the side to help us do some of our giveaways, both patron giveaways and our general follower giveaways that we also did over this last weekend. Another really easy way to support, whatever you're listening to the podcast on or watching our videos, our VODs on Twitch, if you could hit us with a follow, a like, a subscription, hit that bell icon on YouTube to get notifications for when our videos go up. We'd really appreciate it. And if you can throw out a comment, if you have anything that you would like to see or something that you liked, something that you didn't like, we would really appreciate the feedback.
Yeah. What are we talking about this week?
This week we are talking about there's this new set that Wizards of the Coast was like,
I didn't know.
I know. No one even saw it coming.
There's so many that keep coming out.
We definitely haven't been looking forward to this for like over a year now. So it's called Commander Legends. And it's a sealed set that's all about Commander. So it's almost like our podcast where we talk about Magic, but mostly Commander. But this one's just literally all Commander and maybe Legacy.
And some of the cards are legal in non-commander formats.
it's just Legacy though, right? Legacy and
There's Cultivate. I'm sure Cultivate's illegal somewhere.
Oh, true. I mean, Cultivate's legal in Standard right now.
There's lots of cards that are illegal all over the place. That's
very true. So yeah, we're just going to talk about all things Commander Legends today. We're going to talk about the mechanics that we're going to see in Commander Legends. We're going to talk about some of the legendary creatures that have been revealed so far that we like, and maybe some interesting interactions or combos that some of these legendary creatures can give us.
All right, let's jump into it. So we have four mechanics in this set. Some are returning, some are not. And specifically, we have, I'll do the returning if you want to do the new.
I would love to do the new.
I guess there's only one new. There is only one new. So I guess I can do the returning. I'll start with one of them.
I'll do one of the returnings and the new one.
All right. We didn't prepare this. So I'm just going to pick Monarch because I love the Monarch.
You do love the Monarch.
So this is one of our returning mechanics. And so Monarch first came out with Conspiracy Take the Crown for multiplayer play. Can you believe it? This set is going to be for multiple people.
No way.
Multiplayer.
Crazy.
So only one player at a time can be the Monarch. At the beginning of the Monarch's end step, they draw a card, and whenever someone deals damage to the player that is the Monarch, they become the Monarch. So there's cards that come in and say you become the Monarch. And it's just a way to get card draw and to encourage combat. So I am very excited to see this. No real changes with the actual mechanic. Just lots of new cards. There's enchantments that have it. some creatures that have it, a creature that just got reprinted. So I am excited for the Monarch.
Yeah, I really love the interactions that they're doing with Monarch now. It's really, really fantastic. So I'll talk about the new mechanic that they're bringing into Commander Legends, and that's the mechanic Encore. So it's appearing only on non-legendary creatures, and what you do is you pay a creature's Encore cost and exile it from your graveyard to create a number of token copies equal to the number of opponents that you have. Each of those tokens gains haste and must attack either a player or planeswalker they control and is sacrificed at the end step. So yeah. This seems really, really, really cool.
It feels like Unearthed, but Unearthed like for each opponent.
Yeah, Unearthed, but Myriad.
Yeah, Unearthed Myriad.
Yeah. So very excited for this. And actually, there was a new legendary creature that was announced today that can actually give anything Encore.
Hey, I'm going to talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very cool card.
Very cool.
Another returning mechanic is Cascade. So we haven't seen this for a little bit here. I guess we saw some of it in Modern Horizons because we got some Cascade there. So when a spell with Cascade is cast, its controller reveals cards from the top of their library until they reveal a non-land card that costs less. And then they can cast that card without paying its mana cost.
Yeah.
So we may have gotten a quad cascade card that seems like a meme card, but I feel like it's going to be really funny.
Yeah.
Or and by funny I mean terrifying when it's cast against you,
especially with the Simic legendary creature that they announced that would give it a fifth cascade.
There's quad, what's after, what's five?
Quint cascade. And the last mechanic, a returning mechanic that we actually only saw in Commander 2016, is Partner.
I love this mechanic.
Originally printed in Commander 2016, we saw all the double color creatures there with Partner, like Thrasios and Timna. We are now getting 40 monocolor Partners in this set, 40, and then also Prismatic Piper. That just is going to add one color and hopefully not do anything else. So a player may have two commanders if each of them has the keyword Partner. This is different than Battle Bond's Partner With. And then the two partners together have a two color identity for the deck. And then again, you can use Prismatic Piper as a partner as well to just add a color.
And it's nice because these can partner with the original partners, so you can get partners with three color pairs.
Right. Yeah. Without having to repeat a pip in your two partners.
I mean, I guess you could if you wanted to.
Right. Then you could still have three colors with two color pip and partners.
I think you may have. Did you find your partners that with the best color pairing of mono black and mono black?
No. No, I haven't actually.
You haven't? Tormod doesn't fit that?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not okay. yet. I haven't broken it yet because I got too distracted with the Dimir legendary today.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. So we're going to talk about some of our legendary or our favorite legendaries that we've seen from this set, what they do, and then maybe some cards that we think would be really fun to play with them. So the first card, obviously based on my intro this week, I really like Krark the Thumbless. So Krark the Thumbless is a 2/2 goblin wizard for one and a red. It does have partners, so that's cool. Mm-hmm. And it says, whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, flip a coin. If you lose the flip, return that spell to its owner's hand. If you win the flip, copy that spell and you can choose new targets. So now it feels like it's not so bad when you lose the flip when you're playing Zindersplit and Oaken, mm-hmm. The partners with pair. So obviously my first thought here is partners, or just put this in Zindersplit and Oaken, because that's really, really good
for sure.
But there are a couple. There's an interesting combo that I've seen going around. There's some discussion on. So obviously, there's the card Krark's Thumb. So it's an artifact that says if you would flip a coin, instead flip two coins, and you ignore one of them. Mm-hmm. So if you have that out with Krark, now you're flipping three coins you would flip two still.
You still flip two.
Yep. And then you pair that with you have a Gutter Snipe out. So when you cast an instant or sorcery, you deal two damage to each opponent. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. then you play the card Pact of the Titan. Mm-hmm. So Pact of the Titan says it's one of the like Pact of Negation. They're all zero spells.
Right.
And so this one is you pay zero and you put a 4/4 red giant creature token into play.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you cast Pact of the Titan and you lose your flip because you flip two coins, you can ignore the win. You just take the lose. You put it back into your hand. Mm-hmm. And you just keep casting it. If you have a Gutter Snipe out, mm-hmm. you deal 2 damage. And if you win it, I mean, at least you cast Pact of the Titan twice. And if you just keep going, you can win. If you keep going and then you just lose on your next turn because you're going to have to pay 5 mana yeah. so many times. And you just lose your upkeep. But either way, I just wanted to try and make that dream come true. In red.
Yeah.
Partner with something blue so you can tutor it up and go to town.
I heard a lot of people talking about like cards like Bonus Round or something that makes it so every spell you cast after Bonus Round, you get a copy. So again, you could loop it like that. You cast a spell. It makes a copy. The copy is going to get cast either way, and then you can choose to lose to put it back in your hand, but you're still getting a copy of the spell.
Is it a great combo? Absolutely not. Do I want to do it, and will I try it? Yes.
Partner up with blue and then just make it an extra turns deck.
I guess I could.
It'd be kind of disgusting.
It'd be gross. I could partner it with the Elegith, the Sphinx that has whenever you scry, you draw a card.
Not a bad
just
one.
Just play a couple of spells. If I lose my flip, I put that spell back in my hand mm-hmm.
Boom.
So that I would like to play with Krark. I just think that it has some fun applications, even if it's just in a deck and it gives you coin flips. It's probably best just being in Zindersplit and Oaken, but mm-hmm. it seems like it's going to be a lot of fun as a build around to do just silly things.
It's true. You know, and they haven't even revealed all of the legendary creatures yet with partner, the legendary monocolor creatures with partner. So maybe it'll have, you know, Krark's thumbs. Third thumb.
Krark's thumbs. It's yeah, just two just thumbs.
Both thumbs. It just adds a color. That's all it does. It's a 0/0. This is uncastable. All right. So the next creature on our list is one of my favorites, and mostly because of its color combination. And this is Obeka, Brute Chronologist. So Obeka is in Grixis color. So for 1, a blue, a black, and a red, you get a 3/4 Ogre Wizard that says tap. The player whose turn it is may end the turn.
I feel like you're scooting in on my colors here.
I do like... I will say that Dimir probably is... like my favorite two color combination. And so adding red, you just get to do a couple more good things.
It was so funny because I used to own, I built a very competitive Kess deck.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, this is too good to play with like at a commander. Like, so I took it apart. And then one day Coyle was putting a deck together and he goes, do you have a Kess? I'm working on just a deck. And mm-hmm. I was like, cool. And then he comes over and he goes, all right, I built Kess. I was like, oh God, no.
It was great. It was great. And actually, I was telling Andy on the way over, I'm going to be building, I'm going to turn it into a Dimir deck, actually. So my cast deck will become a Dimir deck.
Is it going to be the one that I'm talking about in a little bit?
Uh-huh.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'll have lots of
because I'm going to have a Grixis deck, and I'm probably going to put together Obeka.
Obeka's amazing.
It seems really fun. So tell us what Obeka does.
So I did.
Oh, you just did? Now.
Yes.
It ends the turn.
Yeah, it does. It ends the turn. It's any player. So it's very similar. You can use it in very similar ways to Sundial of the Infinite. And Sundial of the Infinite is a 1 mana artifact that says tap, end the turn, but you can only activate Sundial of the Infinite on your turn, where Obeka you can activate on anyone's turn, but it is a May ability. So you can actually use this as kind of a what's the word I'm looking for? Political tool.
Yes.
That's what I was looking for. You can use this as a political tool, like if someone's about to get swung at for lethal or something, you can be like, hey, you're going to be my friend for the rest of the game? I'll make it so that you don't lose right now. End the turn. Yeah. Combat's done. All their creatures are already tapped. And you're like, oh, they're open now. This is crazy.
Wait, what if, going back to what I just had in Krark.
Okay. We're
going to go on a path. What if I ran Sundial of the Infinite when all those triggers for Pact of the Titan went on? I ended my turn.
You could do that.
Okay, figured it out. Folks, you need 5 cards.
Yeah.
All right, continue.
Okay. So, So with Obeck, you can, someone is about to get a spell countered or something. Someone's about to get their graveyard exiled. You could just use Obeck to make deals with them. You know, Andy puts down his Bajuka Bog to exile my entire graveyard, and there's an Obeka player out there, and I'm like, I will kill Andy next turn if you don't let this happen.
I turn to them and go, he's going to kill me either way.
Yeah. It's not wrong. Not wrong. But there is some more degenerate things you can do with Obeka as well.
Degeneracy.
So there was a deck that I saw one time. I believe it was on Casually Competitive, or it was on one of the CEDH YouTube channels that I'm subscribed to. And it was a loop using Isochron Scepter with a Final Fortune underneath. So Final Fortune is a 2-mana red instant that says you take an extra turn after this one. At the end of that turn, you lose the game. And they were using Sundial of the Infinite in order to end the turn when that trigger went on the stack. Having a Sundial of the Infinite in your command zone is actually really, really, really strong. And you still have access to, you know, some of the best colors that you can have in competitive EDH, if that's what you're deciding that you want to do. And you can actually loop infinite turns using a red extra turn card under an Isochron Scepter. That's the main combo.
If you add other colors, though, mm-hmm. and you play Obeka in a deck that includes like white, you can run spells with like Chance for Glory that do the similar thing, but then you don't have your Sundial of the Infinite in the command zone. It's just
true.
It's in there. So Chance for Glory is a 3 CMC spell. You're not using
Isochron Scepter
for that.
Right.
But you can have Elite Arcanist with it. So you pay 3 and tap the Elite Arcanist to cast the Chance for Glory. So you copy exiled cards, and then on the next turn you pay 3 to tap the Elite Arcanist and cast Chance for Glory, and then you end your extra turns, and so you can just get infinite turns.
Yeah.
If you can get it, it's just, there's some crazy stuff you can do with this.
Yeah, and I guess that's a good point, because there's a mono black extra turn card. There's a bunch of red extra turn cards. Most of the red extra turn cards do have you lose the game at the end of the turn. And then there's blue extra turn cards. So if you want to do a Grixis everything extra turns deck, maybe Obeka is the one for you. And it's Grixis, so, you know, go to town.
Yeah, I saw somebody post something earlier, and I won't go through it entirely, but it needs Vadrek, Saheeli, Obeka, Crystal Shard, and Chance for Glory. It gives you infinite turns with 5 cards.
Okay.
And so you mutate Vadrek onto the extra creature. I found this online. And then Vadrek's mutate trigger to cast Chance for Glory from your graveyard to take an extra turn, mm-hmm. which gives you a Thopter from Saheeli. And then that token is going to be your mutate target next turn. And then before end of turn, you pay to activate your Crystal Shard, return Vadrek to your hand.
Okay.
And then use Obeka to exile to lose the trigger, and then you just keep going, lose the game trigger.
That seems very complicated.
It does. And I was very excited to read through it, and it made perfect sense, and I said, this is so much. I mean, I don't know if that would ever come together, but it seems really fun. And if you do it, take a picture and send it to us.
Take a video. I want to see the whole process.
Yeah, right. So the next card that I have that I would really like to play is Malcolm. And that is Keen-Eyed Navigator. So Malcolm is a mono blue partner, and it's a pirate that says it's a siren pirate for 2 and a blue. It's a 2/2 of flying that has whenever one or more pirates you control deal damage to your opponents, you create a treasure token for each opponent that was dealt damage. So there's some discussion right now regarding this with Glinthorn Buccaneer. As being a pretty consistently competitive a deck here. So a Glinthorn Buccaneer is a 2/4 with haste for 1 red that says when you discard a card, Glinthorn Buccaneer deals 1 damage to each of your opponents, and then pay 1 and a red to discard a card and draw a card and activate this only when it's attacking. So if you have Malcolm out and you swing with Glinthorn Buccaneer and discard a card, it deals 1 damage to each opponent, and then because of Malcolm you make 3 treasures, and then while it's still attacking you sack 2 of them, discard a card, draw a card, and you ping each opponent again. Mm-hmm. So you filter through until you find whatever card it is that you're looking for, or you do it until you've dealt 40 damage to your opponents. Mm-hmm. Obviously it only works if you have one or two opponents. When you're down to one opponent, you don't net mana.
True.
So you have to still have everyone be alive to kind of keep it going. You can also play with like Pemmon's Aura or an enchantment that gives a creature to tap to deal damage with like, is it Lobber Crew? No, is it Lobber Crew?
Lobber Crew taps to deal 1 damage to each opponent.
Yeah, no, there's gotta be, I think that would similar do it. Mm-hmm. There's some shenanigans you can do here. I feel like this deck is something that I would like to play. There's some, you know, and it has partners, so you can add it to get whatever colors you want. So if you were to add it with Vile Smash or the Fierce to get black and red, you can get some tutors. Mm-hmm. Or if you add like Timna with white black, you lose out on the Glinthorn Buccaneer, which might be part of the main draw, right, to play Malcolm. Mm-hmm. But Malcolm is a solid add to just like an Admiral Beckett Brass deck.
Yeah. If you want to do it in a jank way, you can do like an Arcane Adaptation and stuff and just make all your stuff pirates and then use a Gutter Snipe, like we mentioned before, do 2 damage to each opponent, and then you get treasures that way, and maybe that goes into some sort of infinite loop of some sort.
So Gutter Snipe, it is each opponent. Gross. Yeah, you're right. Gross. I thought it was one and then you just keep going, but each.
You told me when you were talking about Grark that it was each opponent, and I believed you.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is each. I'm glad I had it right because I play Gutter Snipe a lot, and I was like, oh, I should double check this. It is each.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's each. It's a lot.
It does. Gutter Snipe, that's a lot of damage it deals.
You should play more Gutter Snipe, by the way. Like, and I'm talking to everyone. I'm not just talking to you.
I looked over, it's in like 3 or 4 decks. I'm pretty sure I do.
Everyone should play more Gutter Snipe, and they should play more Young Pyromancer in Commander because they're very good cards and they need to be played more. So the next legendary creature we're going to talk about is Averna the Chaos Bloom. So Averna is in teamer color. So for green, blue, red, you get a 4/2 elemental shaman that says, as you cascade, you may put a land card from among the exiled cards onto the battlefield tapped. So cascade is a very well supported mechanic in this particular set. Outside of this set, there are some good stuff. I mean, most of it did come from Commander 2016 Yidris precon, and then Maelstrom Wanderer is the other really big cascade legendary creature. The fact that it has cascade is really good. I know Maelstrom Wanderer decks are usually either combo decks or creature heavy decks because Maelstrom Wanderer also grants haste, but this is another take on cascade. So when you cascade, you exile cards from the top of your library until you find a card with a lower CMC than the card with cascade that you cast. So amongst those exiled cards, you'll be able to actually take one of the lands and put it on the battlefield tap. So this is going to help you ramp along with cascading, mm-hmm. Which seems really cool. Before this, I would say that there wasn't enough support in teamer in order to build an all cascade deck. But now I think with this particular set, it's really good. And what I wanted to bring up and maybe have a discussion with is it's pretty clear, I think, but maybe you disagree that Averna is the teamer cascade commander now. It's no longer Maelstrom Wanderer.
I don't know. I mean, Maelstrom Wanderer's been around for so long. Mm-hmm. I mean, this one is not, it's not bad by anybody, but it, because of the 3 CMC versus it being, is it 8 CMC? Is it 5 and 3?
5 and teamer, yeah.
5 and teamer. That's a big difference.
It's huge.
That's a really big difference.
It's,
and the
5
fact that,
difference.
Yeah. Wow. You just mathed. You mathed all over me there. no, but I mean, I think the really important part here is that you can also get a land.
Yeah.
Because you hit lands and just grabbing one, it's the land you found along the way, the friend you made along the way, yes. Whatever land you found would be really, really nice.
And it is any land that you find along the way. It's not just like a basic or anything like that. So you can find some, I don't know, Minamo at school's end as you're going through, or a Valakit. I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing up land. Maybe a Gaia's Cradle on the way.
Yeah. So reading, it says, do this after the last card is exiled, but before deciding whether to cast a non-land card.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So that in the event that you cascade into a Rampaging Ballast or something, you're not going to get the landfall trigger because the land's already going to be on the battlefield.
Right. I do think that this is probably going to be a popular cascade card, but Maelstrom Wanderer, I mean, it just says when you cascade, you can get a land.
Right.
Maelstrom Wanderer, that has cascade
and creatures you control have haste.
Yeah. And I mean, they do different things.
They do.
But Maelstrom Wanderer, I mean, at least they can go in each other's deck.
I think Maelstrom Wanderer is an auto-include in the 99 of Averna, and I'm not sure Averna is an auto-include in the Maelstrom Wanderer deck.
Yeah, probably is. Who cares?
That's just my point of view, my argument.
I don't have a Cascade deck, but I would probably put them each into each other's decks.
Is this the Cascade Commander you would build out of the Cascade Commanders that are going to be in this set? There's only been one other one.
Yeah, because I'd like to have options. Particularly having the access to red is fun.
It sure is, because then you get to play Throes of Chaos.
Yeah, I mean, you could play Emote, Celebrant of Bounty, which is the other one that Coyle's mentioning here. So for three green to blue, this is not my next commander, but while we're on Cascade, it has Cascade, and it says spells you cast with CMC 6 or greater have Cascade.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very cool. It's a Naga Druid. And it's a 3/1. I would still play the teamer version, but yeah. this one doesn't have partner.
It does not have partner.
It doesn't have partner.
It's only in Simic. You don't get red. There's probably some.
This one belongs in both the 99.
Agreed.
I think both.
Totally
decks.
Agreed. Totally agreed. And this is the card that we mentioned before that can make the Cascade card into a fifth iteration of Cascade.
Yes. Yes, I mean, I guess we got to talk about.
I mean,
that
we're
going to
talk about it just real quick.
I mean, you got to mention.
We mentioned it a couple times already. It's Apex Devastator, which is a Chimera Hydra for 8 green. It's a 10/10 that just has 4 words on it, separated by commas: Cascade, 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 Cascade.
That's the whole card.
It's crazy.
I mean, it does a lot.
I mean, I have a couple decks that this is going in already. So
do you?
I mean, it's going in Yeva for sure.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer there.
I feel like I should put it in so you can cast a non-land card.
Yeah. So creatures.
Yeah, so I could just put it into Nikia.
Into Nikia, yeah.
For 10 mana, that's nothing.
Right. You're doubling your mana anyways just with Nikia.
I could do that.
On turn 5.
Yeah, if I get Nikia out on 4 or even 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, I'm gonna get this big old.
It's a big old devastator of the Apex variety.
Of the Apex variety. So shifting gears to some Dimir colors.
Mm.
Let's go a little sneaky here. Mm. We're gonna talk about Arumi of the Dead Tide. Oh, so yeah. This is a Merfolk Wizard, 1/4 for 1, a blue and a black. So you know, this card works with graveyards, and I have a Dimir graveyard. I have 2 Dimir graveyard decks, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So this could just maybe go into both. It's a legendary. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So Arumi says, tap, exile cards from your graveyard equal to the number of opponents you have. Target creature card in your graveyard gains encore until end of turn. The encore cost is equal to its mana cost.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about encore, so you can exile that, get a copy of it for each opponent that you have. So some ETB creatures work really, really well in this.
Mm-hmm.
One of them being Grey Merchant of Asphodel.
Oh my gosh.
So you can just, you know, get a casual 3 Grey Merchants and deal, assuming Arumi's out.
Assuming Arumi's still alive.
You're gonna deal 21 to each of your opponents and gain 63 life.
That's right. But now, I mean, there's so much more that you can do too.
Oh, sure. I mean, the one that I really like is not even nearly a budget friendly card, but I really like Gilded Drake to steal 3 creatures and just give away 3 Gilded Drakes.
You know me so well. It's like you're building this deck with me right now.
And then I really like Gyruda, Doom of Depths.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 6/6 that says when it enters the battlefield, each player puts the top 4 cards of their library into their graveyard, put a creature card with an even CMC from among those cards under the battlefield under your control. So mill 4, get a creature, mill 4, get a creature, mill 4, get a creature. You get 3 creatures and swinging with 6/6s. That's not nothing.
I was a little disappointed that Arumi is 3 CMC and not 4 CMC so that you could make Gyruda the companion.
Oh, the
with
companion.
It. You'd lose Grey Merchant, but I just think it would be really fun to build around. But there's some, I when I was trying to kind of just brainstorm this deck a little bit. I was also going in, so it's important to note that you need to tap Irumi in order to activate her ability. So mm-hmm. I was looking in some like Vanifar pod decks and stuff to see some of the untapped creatures.
Staff of Nomination is in this set.
That's true. What's not in the set, but they printed in Double Masters and Throne of Eldraine, is Corridor Monitor.
Yeah.
So it's just a 2-mana creature, so you only have to spend 2 mana to cast it, and you get 3 untapped triggers, which can allow you to bring back Phyrexian Obliterator, Yarix Fenlurker, and Grey Merchant, and get 3 copies of each one doing, I'm going to do quick math here, 12 plus 6, 18, 18 plus 6, 24 plus Yumi, 25. So each one of your opponents will lose 25 life, and then you'll gain, or no, it's 25 times 3. Each one of your opponents will lose 75 life, and then you'll gain 75 times 3. So 225.
You can play with Panharmonicon here. That's pretty great.
That's a pretty great card. All the ETB triggers. Sepulcher Primordial.
Massacre Worm.
And the blue spells one where you steal spells from other people's graveyards.
I mean, you can get an Agent of Treachery here and draw 9 cards at end of turn before they go.
You certainly can.
And stole 3 permanents permanently.
I like Hedron Crab. Then you can play a land, and then it's like mill 9.
If you play a fetch land, it's mill 18.
That's right.
there's a lot. I mean, I think in decks like this, you want a lot of card draw because you're going to want to fill up your graveyard as well. Mm-hmm. So even if you're discarding, so cards like Fairy Miscreant, mm-hmm. that's fine. You only have to pay 1 blue. It's going to come in. You control another fairy because you're going to make 3 of them. So you're going to draw 3 cards for a single blue.
Yeah.
So
there's also a few creatures when they enter the battlefield, they can untap X number of lands, like Palancron can untap up to 7 lands when it enters Gilded the battlefield.
Drake. Is that Gilded Drake? No. There's the other one.
Peregrine Drake.
Peregrine Drake.
Yeah, which is untap 5. There's a fairy that untaps 2. So if you have enough cards in your graveyard, like maybe if you're playing a combo like Mesmeric Orb and Basalt Monolith, to just throw everything in the graveyard. Then you can just...
What are your thoughts on Deceiver Exarch?
Deceiver Exarch is 3 mana, but it's still good in this particular...
Because you can have it and stack those triggers and untap one of... untap your commander and tap it, and then it resolves, and then tap your... you mm-hmm. can untap your commander twice. If you've got the mana, you've got the mana.
Absolutely.
To go cray-cray.
Yes. And you should go cray-cray. And I do think that this will see CEDH... play mostly because of the Mesmeric or Basalt Monolith and Thassa's Oracle, because you'll be able to Thassa's Oracle it.
Hey, I run that in my Rona Disciple of Gix deck.
Yeah.
That cares about Dimir things being in the graveyard.
Uh-huh.
and specifically legendary permanents.
Turns out it's good.
Turns out this fits. It also fits really well in my Lazav the Multifarious deck.
Mm-hmm.
Just Dimir things being in the graveyard.
Yeah,
so
Dimir likes graveyards.
I may or may not be playing this card in 2 decks, but probably not as the commander, only because of the 2 of us, I have a feeling this one will be coming to the table.
Already building
to
it.
A table near me real soon.
I'm building it. It's almost it's almost built already. I've been using Tygum Sidisi's hand as the filler for now, and using the EDH rec page of Tygum in order to find some of the mill cards, like the Stitcher suppliers and stuff that I need to fill the graveyard. So very cool stuff. All right, so the next commander we're going to talk about is Gnostro, Voice of the Crags.
I wasn't sure how we were going with this one. Is it
Gnostro or Gnostro?
Like Ganache? Ganache.
You could do a Ganache.
This is Gnostro.
Gnostro, Voice of the Crags. So this one, we are in Bant colors. I think I got that shard right. So we're in one...
No, we're in Jeskai.
Jeskai here. Is what I meant to say. You didn't hear Bant. It was just Jeskai the whole time. So for one, a blue, a red, and a white, you get a legendary creature, Chimera, 3/3, that has the ability to tap and choose one, where X is equal to the number of spells you've cast this term. Maybe that doesn't say Storm, but it's Storm. You can either scry X, or Gnostro deals X damage to target creature, or you gain X life. So this is all about, if... You can do this in response to someone going off on their turn, because it's just number of spells you cast this turn. So you do have to do a kind of storm off yourself. I just really like this with a dramatic reversal under an Isochron Scepter, because it just I mean, if you have infinite cast triggers that way. You scry where X is 100, so you just reorder your deck however the way you want it. It deals, it gets rid of every single creature on the board, and then you gain an infinite number of life. And you can do all of those things with just the one combo. You have to be able to then do something with that, which chances are you'll be able to because you just scryed your win con to the top of your deck and maybe you have a card draw spell in your hand.
I feel like this is a hard deck to build, though. I feel like this is, I mean, is this the Jeskai good stuff deck?
It's probably Jeskai control and then find your combo deck.
Yeah.
Most likely. Other than Alesha. Or is it Alesha? No. The other Jeskai.
That's Narset.
No, the top of your deck matters. Jeskai from the pre-con.
That's Amanatu Esper?
Nope. Jeskai.
There's a Jeskai that cares about the top?
Nick plays it.
Oh, Elsha of the Infinite.
Elsha. So I was right. So yeah, Elsha of the Infinite is...
Did you say Elsha?
I said the first thing I said say was no? Elsha. Yeah, and you said no. That's okay.
We got there. Okay?
I was second guessing myself already anyways. So yeah, Elsha is the Jeskai commander right now that probably sees the most like competitive combo type of play. And obviously this is a different kind of Jeskai deck.
Against the Narset deck?
I bet. Well, I have. I have played against
and
a Narset.
And everyone's
deck.
Thankful we don't anymore.
That's true. Unless you're playing in a pod that was fine with it. It's fine with Armageddon all your lands. Don't do that.
What a D.
But anyway, I haven't found any other ways where Nostro, like if you... It's really difficult to do like a budgety, I guess, version of Nostro or a not 100% version of Nostro, because if you're not building to the point where you're casting like 8 spells in a turn, I just don't think Nostro is doing enough. Maybe you can prove me wrong and you have a good budget Nostro deck, or maybe you're just going to use Nostro to just scry some, do some control, gain a couple life.
Yeah. So the next commander that I want to talk about is actually, so it's in a color combination that I think I've said before, I'm just not a fan of what it usually does. And we finally have it doing something that feels different and is hearkening back to the old days of Magic way before we played with something that you used to joke about, Mana Burn.
Mm-hmm.
So Urlok of Scorch Trash.
Scorch Trash.
Nope.
It's thrash.
Yep. But I'm going to call him of Scorched Trash.
I like it.
I do.
Trash
too.
Fire.
Trash.
Jun's
this is my
trash fire.
Jun Trash Heap. Okay.
I love it.
Of Scorched Thrash. Mm-hmm. So it's a 4/4 Viashino Shaman for 1, a black, a red, and a green. It has vigilance, and it says a player losing unspent mana causes that player to lose that much life.
Mm-hmm.
Pay 1, tap it. Each player adds black, red, and green to their mana pool.
Jund them out.
I've never played Jund, but I've played against it.
Mm-hmm.
It happens sometimes.
For sure.
So, here you are looking to, give as much mana as you possibly can, to your opponents.
That's right.
And hopefully, just have some more life than them. So they just,
I mean, the beginning lose. Of that statement sounded a lot like Group Hug.
Yeah. But no. So to really take advantage, right? So you're doubling the mana that your opponents have. Mm-hmm. So they have lots of mana, but then they don't want to use all of it because
they don't want to take all the damage.
They don't. Right? So if you make a land tap for so much mana, they might just take some damage by tapping an individual land.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have to tap multiple lands because they need multiple colors, they're going to take that damage. So cards like Leyline of Abundance, it says whenever you tap a creature for mana, you add an additional green. So if you have like Urlok out and you play an Umbral Mantle, which says pay 3, this creature has pay 3 generic, tap untap this creature, and it gets +2/+2. You can tap Urlok and you can get infinite damage to your opponents.
That's a lot of damage.
It's a lot of damage. You can also do something similar to your opponents with Sword of the Perrins. So pay 3, tap or untap equipped creature. You're going to be able to tap it and then untap it. And if you have the Leyline of Abundance, you get that extra green mana.
And that's all you need
when you tap your commander. It I feel like there's more things than I found that are just going to do that. But
yeah,
just these mana doublers, enablers. Zendikar's Resurgence is really going to help you with your mana there. And you can just play some big old spells and take your opponents out in the Jund variety without just sacking lands or permanents like a Korvold would do, or like a Lord Windgrace would do, or Shattergang Bros.
Mm-hmm. You got to make sure that you run enchantment removal for Kruphix decks, and you have to make sure you run creature removal for mono green Omnath decks. And actually, there's a new artifact that they printed in this set that you need to be able to run removal for, and that's Horizon Stone. The 5 CMC artifact says if you would lose unspent mana, that mana becomes colorless instead.
Mm-hmm.
So I did kept looking back and going like, oh wait, do Omnath decks still take damage? Do Kruphix decks still take damage? It's like, well, no, because it's mana that's still in your pool at the end that's unspent, but you didn't get converted. It gets converted elsewhere.
Still unspent.
So yeah, your lock looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I'm really not gonna lie. So the last creature that I had, the last legendary creature that I had that I really liked, and I think building it would be fun, but I'm not sure like what power level you could get it to. You could probably get it to be pretty strong. Is Gore Moldrock Amphinologist.
Amphinologist.
Gore Moldrock Amphinologist. So
you convince yourself that's how it's pronounced.
Yeah, it's pronounced that way now in my head. I just figured it out because you told me. So this is a Simic. So for one, a green and a blue, you get a 3/2 human scout that says you and permanents you control have protection from salamanders. At the beginning of your end step, each player who controls the fewest creatures creates a 4/3 blue salamander warrior creature token. So when I was looking at this card and how to build around it, I was looking at, it kind of feels like a little bit of group hug because I want to give creatures to my opponents, preferably weaker like 1/1 creatures or maybe 0/1 creatures to my opponents. So they have more creatures than me. So I'm the one who gets the salamander at the end step. So we're going to play cards like Forbidden Orchard, which can tap for 1 mana of any color, but then you have to give one of your opponents a 1/1 ground spirit. Normally you wouldn't play this in a 2-color deck, most likely, but we're going to because it's good for color fixing and we can give our opponents more creatures. Cards like Hunted Troll, where when you cast it, target player gets, I think it's 3 1/1 blue fairies, or Dowsing Dagger, when it comes in, an opponent gets 2 0/1 plant tokens. So you can play it kind of group huggy, but really you're just trying to get your own advantage and get more salamanders on your side of the field.
The Hunted Troll actually gives 4 fairies.
4 1/1 blue flying fairies to a target opponent. But another interesting combination that I actually really liked, and I found it on Twitter, that someone said you could cast an arcane adaptation naming salamanders and then donate it using the card Donate in blue to an opponent so that all of their creatures become creature type salamander, and then you have protection from all of their creatures. And all of your creatures have protection from all of their creatures. It's kind of a nuts thing to give to somebody that like is playing a full-on creature deck that might not have the opportunity to remove an enchantment that they control. It's a very niche combo, and you probably won't be able to do it more than once, or maybe you can, and I just don't know how. Maybe you copy the enchantment, and then you somehow get Donate back to your hand and give it away. I'm not sure you want to build the deck around that particular one, but you should definitely throw it in the deck somewhere.
You should definitely throw it in the deck. Yeah, there's a lot of really cool command, and that's, we mentioned 8 of them.
Yeah.
And there's still coming out this week.
Just a ton of them.
Yeah, there's just a ton of them. So the last little bit of our show this week is going to just talk about a couple of cool interactions with cards that have come out recently that work with things that we've seen in the past. We mentioned Final Fortune and Isochron Scepter.
Mm-hmm.
But you found that there are 2 cards. I don't know how often that will happen to actually draft.
Yeah, so Andy's favorite 5-color commander is printed in this set, Najeela the Blade Blossom. And the Najeela the Blade Blossom has this really fun effect where you can pay 1 of each color and take an extra turn. And then at the beginning of combat on each one of your combats, you get to make some warriors. And then I'm just going to read Najeela, and I was just kind of filling in time till I found the Najeela card. Except the version that I found was not in a language that I understood. So now I'm still delaying. So for two and a red, you get a legendary creature, human warrior. It says whenever a warrior attacks, you may have its controller create a 1/1 white warrior creature token that's tapped and attacking. And then you can pay one of each color to untap all attacking creatures. They gain trample, lifelink, and have haste until end of turn. After this phase, there's an additional combat phase. Activate this ability only during combat. So the other card that they actually are printing in the etched border, that is played in a majority of Najeela decks is Derevi. And Derevi is in Bant colors.
Mm-hmm.
See, I got it right this time. And so for a green, a white, and a blue, you get a legendary creature, Bird Wizard. Why are you playing a Bird Wizard in a Warriors deck? This is why. Whenever Derevi Imperial Tactician enters the battlefield or a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, you may tap or untap target permanent. So this will allow you to just untap all your creatures, take another combat, untap your lands so you can pay and take another combat, and then you just keep doing it over and over again. So it's technically a draftable infinite combats combat or combo that is used in CEDH currently.
They are so it's they're both etched foil mythics. So the chances of you getting both, slim to none.
Probably not, but it might. It probably will once to somebody.
It's gotta.
It's gonna be in. I'm gonna make a cube based on Commander Legends, and this is gonna be in the cube. One of each. Only one of each. One of each will be in the cube.
Let's do two of each.
Do you want to?
No. No, I do not.
So I just thought it was interesting that it's technically a draftable combo.
Hey, do you want to hear about another degenerate combo that I found an interaction with? It's with the card that goes infinite with quite a few things. It's a Kiki Jiki Mirror Breaker. A 2/2 with haste that says tap and create a token that's a copy of target non-legendary creature you control. It gains haste and sack it at the next end step. It already goes crazy with a couple of things, but we have a new card, Port Razor. It's an Orc Pirate 4/4 that says whenever Port Razor deals combat damage to a player, untap each creature you control. After this phase, there's a combat phase with an additional after this combat, there's an additional combat. Mm-hmm. So you make a Port Razor and you swing at somebody, and then you untap everything you tap and you make another Port Razor. And then I guess the stipulation on Port Razor is it can't attack a player it's already attacked. So you just swing that one at someone else, mm-hmm. but the new one swings at the person who hopefully doesn't have blockers, because you're going to need to have it deal combat damage.
Right.
So it has to get through somehow. So mm-hmm. if you have unblockable or trample or something, because there's going to be other things in your deck, mm-hmm. you can just go crazy with Port Razor.
Yeah. I know we were talking on the way over. It's a very similar combo to Godot Bandit Warlord and Helm of the Host to make infinite combats. But it's another version of that. So it's another mono red competitive combo, the same way that Godot is. So you throw them both in a deck and throw a Morog in there too, just in case.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes you just need a couple more combats. I mean, who knows?
Right.
So another one I wanted to talk about is Phyrexian Triniform. So when people first saw this card, they thought it was overcosted. And I don't particularly disagree with that statement just on its face. So Phyrexian Triniform is a 9 CMC artifact creature golem that says whenever Phyrexian Triniform dies, create 3/3 colorless golem artifact creature tokens, and it has Encore for 12 mana. 12 mana is a lot of mana. But if you were going to play this card in like a Brutaclad deck, Brutaclad says at the beginning of your combat, you create a 2/1 mirror creature token, and then you can turn all of your tokens into a target token that you control. Whether that's creature or not, it doesn't really matter. But with Phyrexian Triniform, when you do the Encore ability, you get 3 token copies of Phyrexian Triniform. So let's say you cast Phyrexian Triniform for 9, it dies and you get the 3 tokens. Brutaclad, you go to your combat, you make a 2/1, and then all of them become the 3/3 tokens. The next turn, you're doing Encore for 12, and you're getting three of the Phyrexian Triniform tokens. Now you have the three Triniform tokens and the five other tokens that you're going to have. So then you can have eight Phyrexian Triniforms that are all going to die at end step because they have the caveat of Encore where they have to be sacrificed at the end of the turn. And now you're getting three threes for each one of those that dies. And it's just kind of a super huge multiplicative effect to really get your board massive, beside the fact that you're swinging with a bunch of nine nines at the time too.
Yeah, that's really cool. You know, another card that it seems like a conundrum to read how it works, but it's pretty simple once you read it. Mm-hmm. So Wheel of Misfortune, we have another wheel card here. So it's a two in red for a sorcery. Each player chooses a number secretly and then they reveal them. Wheel of Misfortune deals damage equal to the greatest chosen number to each player who chose the greatest number. And then then each player who did not choose the smallest number, basically discards their hand and draws seven cards. Mm-hmm. So if you voted the highest, you're going to take some damage. And then you and the next two people, or basically anyone who didn't vote the lowest number, you get to wheel, which is really exciting. And then you take damage. But what's really interesting with this is not only is this card playing like mind games, because you got to figure out how much life you're actually willing to pay. If you're in the Boros colors, you can play cards like Hallow or Intervention Pact or Samite Ministration that basically says prevent damage that would be dealt by a source of your choice this turn. And whenever damage is dealt to you, like Samite Ministration is the one that I'm referencing here, is whenever damage from a black or a red source is prevented this way, you gain that much life instead. Mm-hmm. So if you're playing, and I think this card's probably going to make it into your
Fire Song and Sun Speaker
deck.
For sure.
You can say I'm gonna wager, you know, 500,
yep,
and then I'm gonna gain 500 life and wheel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Intervention Pact. It's free at the beginning of your upkeep. You have to pay one white, or you lose the game. But the next time a source of your choice would deal damage, do you prevent it and gain life? And Hallow for a single white mana is prevent the damage that target spell would deal this turn, and you gain life equal to the amount prevented.
Yeah. I mean, even just vanilla Wheel of Misfortune in Fire Song and Sunspeaker, you can say, oh yeah, I wager 39 life, and when I'm sitting at 40, and the red spell gets lifelink because of Fire Song and Sunspeaker, and I just gain the life right back. I know that I'm going to be the one wheeling that way.
Yes.
For sure. No one can stop me. Unless someone has infinite life. I mean, what are the chances?
I'm just going to bet 40.
Do you want to talk about...
I'm not going to bet 40.
just bet 40. You die. Sorry.
Because I still wheel if I get like 10. That's not the lowest.
That's
you don't
very
have
true.
To be the highest.
But if you have like a life gain doubler or something in your Fire Song and Sunspeaker deck, then you would pay 39, but then gain back 78. So
right.
I don't play any of those cards because mine was built on a $50 budget and those cards tend to be a little bit more expensive. But if I ever upgrade the deck, I will put those in. Do you want to talk about a really controversial card?
Yeah, I was going to say we have one card left that we're going to talk about today. There's some cool interactions. Mm-hmm. So the card itself is Jeweled Lotus. If you're on Twitter, you might have taken a break from Twitter for a day or two because it was quite heated. So Jeweled Lotus, zero CMC artifact that says tap, sacrifice it, add three mana of any one color to spend mana to cast your commander. So yeah. So it can only be spent on a commander.
Mm-hmm.
I like the card. It's not bad. It's not Black Lotus.
I think it's a good card. I think, you know, you can cast Malcolm on turn one and still have one mana left over. So, you know, there's going to be some implications where this card is good. I thought
you might not have mana if you kept a no lander.
And we talked about that. It's like if you kept a one lander with a Jeweled Lotus because you have Jeweled Lotus and you can pump out your commander, that Jeweled Lotus doesn't untap at your next turn. You have to sacrifice it.
But it still feels fun to do, so I hope you all do it.
Yeah, once. For sure.
You have to for science.
I thought it was interesting that it does say to cast your commander, not in particular from your command zone. So I think this is kind of a cool card if you can somehow recur it in a Squee the Immortal deck where you can cast Squee from your graveyard, from exile, or from your command zone with it. And it does add three mana, and that's how much Squee costs to cast.
Yeah, I mean, I have a Rona. I actually mentioned it earlier. Rona, Disciple of Gix. Mm-hmm. And Rona is a three CMC card, obviously two colors, mm-hmm. so it's still possible on turn one. So with Rona, it says when Rona enters the battlefield, you may exile target historic card from your graveyard, so artifacts, legendaries, or sagas, so it's an artifact, and then you can cast non-land cards exiled with Rona. So I can cast Rona on turn one and then get that Jeweled Lotus back mm-hmm. to sit there to help pay for commander tax when Rona inevitably dies.
Right.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Or if you have a doubling cube out there, an interesting interaction. Doubling cube, whenever you tap a mana source for mana, you double the amount of mana that it taps for. The doubled mana from Jeweled Lotus actually does not have the contingency to only be cast for your commander. So you have the ability to use that three mana to then cast any sort of abilities. Kind of a bit to set up, and I don't think there's that much of a payoff for it, but definitely just an interesting interaction that we saw.
And Coyle brought up a really good point. You know, we were just on the Commander Crunch podcast, mm-hmm. and that was a lot of fun. And it seems like this card, although you've been able to do this previously, it really does help out commanders that may have triple color pips, mm-hmm. which we just saw in Throne of Eldraine.
That's right.
So, I mean, Ayara, you could have already done it. Yeah. On turn one,
you can dark ritual.
If you want to cast Gadwick the Wizened, you can draw one card then, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, or you could wait for a little bit later. Linden the Steadfast Queen, the Yorvo, Lord of Garenbrig.
You're not going to mention the red creature.
I mean, I have a Torbrand deck. It's really good.
I think this is the best of all of the Throne of Eldraine commanders. I think Torbrand is what loves Jeweled Lotus the most.
Yeah. So I plan on putting it into some decks, but I don't. The other thing to remember is Jeweled Lotus on turn one into your commander is going to make you target number one. Mm-hmm. And the number of times I run cards like Doomblade, or I'll just bounce this back to your hand, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It is a lot. I run a lot of targeted removal. Mm-hmm. Some may say too much. Some may say, quote, Andy always has an answer.
It's always true.
I feel like I do. And I really like being in that spot, but not after I used a Jeweled Lotus on turn one.
Right.
I will probably wait. I actually am the person that holds the Sol Ring until turn two or three when I actually need it, because I don't want to get the heat for dropping it on turn one.
Well, and you got to keep up that swan song just in case.
If I'm in red, yes.
If you're in red, you're definitely keeping up the swan song.
Yes. So Jeweled Lotus, we do. We both like it. Do we think it's busted? No.
Definitely not busted.
And don't pre-order it now.
It is one card in the 99. It cannot be your commander.
And it cannot be worth $150.
It is. I mean, maybe the foiled version of the extended art, because it is mythic level.
Sure.
Maybe.
Sure.
Maybe signed by Chris Rush.
Well, it wasn't by Chris Rush.
I know.
And it can't be signed by Chris Rush.
It shouldn't
anymore.
Be signed by Chris Rush.
Well, it can't be anymore.
Well, if it was, though, could you imagine how much that would cost?
That would be crazy.
It would be literally infinite amounts of mana. Mana? Money?
It would also be infinite amounts of mana. That's what it would produce. we had a lot of fun coming up with topics for this week, and we weren't sure how we really wanted to honestly tackle Commander Legends. There's so much we have to talk about.
Huge.
There's still stuff that's not out, so we're going to talk about that more next week. So make sure you tune into our stream this coming Thursday. Dana Roach from EDH, Retcast, and Commander Central is going to be on, as mm-hmm. well as Zuby from Magic with Zuby. So head over again to twitch.tv/atflory. We want to thank you all for listening. If you want to contact us, you can find our podcast online at theguardianprojectpodcast.com. You can find our social media on Twitter @GuardianPod and our gameplay videos at youtube.com/theguardianproject. And if you want to email us topics that you'd like us to talk about, or if you just want to talk with us, you can email us at guardianprojectpod@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter @ATFlory.
And you can find me on Twitter @WormcoilEngine.
And we will be signing off. We'll see you all next week.
Sign off. Right on that Jeweled Lotus. I'll sign one.
You cross your T's and dot your I's. I have both of those in my name.
I don't have any T's.
In your middle name, you do. No, you. Yes,
yeah,
you do.
I have one.
You have a T.
I have a T there. I don't sign my middle name.
Do you have an I?
Yeah,
you do.
In first name and middle name.
We both cross our T's and dot our I's when we sign off.
With middle names.
Which I don't do.
Can you guess my middle name? Don't tell him. Don't tell him.
All right, Pat.
Oh my gosh.